Welcome to the world of Mark's Money Mind, coming to you from Longmont, Colorado. I am your host, Mark Troutman. This educational personal finance show combines money lessons, timely topics, personal stories, and community wisdom to help listeners and viewers master their finances to enjoy a stress-free life of financial freedom. As I prepare for my annual volunteer teaching of the financial literacy class to the high school seniors at the Crested Butte Community School over the next few weeks, I thought I would publish a mini-series of podcast episodes that cover some of the highlights of these classroom sessions. A couple of reasons. Students will be able to refer back to these episodes if they want to review some of the main concepts or by chance miss a class. Hopefully they don't do that. Please don't miss classes. But if that happens, at least you'll have something to fall back on. And potentially parents will also be able to follow along with the topics that we're talking about and maybe even have discussions at home about them, because I'm a big fan of families talking about finances out in the open. And maybe this will open up some conversations between the parents and the students. And I hope that would be the case. And certainly more broadly, the previous series of videos that I posted on the website for the 2020 class, which was during COVID, so I had to make recordings, I posted them on the website because a lot of people have asked about the financial literacy class, how it works, what I do. And I said, well, let me just post those recordings from the COVID year, then people could review them. I wish my production of it, you know, it was me just kind of hitting record on Zoom and I didn't do any editing or anything like that, and wish it was a little bit more professional, but it gets the point across. And that's actually one of the areas of the website that is the most viewed by far. So obviously people are watching it, even though I apologize for the professional quality of it. But I guess they're getting some benefit out of it if it's being watched that often. So this hopefully will potentially replace that, and you will be able to kind of see everything as I do it, at least from kind of a high level. And obviously, if you're not a student in the class or a parent of the student in the class, it's available to anyone and everyone. So what I'll do is I will divide up the podcast into a handful of short episodes covering the 7 sections of the financial literacy course. And some of the lessons I might be able to cover in one show. Some I may have to break apart into 2 shows, and I may be able to cover a couple of lessons in one show. But the key lessons are, 1, tracking your income and expenses, or keeping a money journal, as I like to refer to it to the students. 2, calculating net worth, understanding what the net worth statement, what goes into it, assets, liabilities, and calculating net worth. 3 is compounding. That is my favorite class, and especially for individuals starting out at such a young age, compounding just has vast benefits when you start early. 4, credit reports and credit scores. 5 is protecting yourself from the risk of financial loss, where I talk a little bit about insurance, online safety, different kinds of scams out there. 6, this was added actually at the request of prior students. They wanted to know about income taxes and how they work. So that's a newer module that was added, I think, about 2 years into the program. I think I've been doing this program for 10 years now. And so that was added. I'll try to just cover that from a high level instead of going too deep into the nitty-gritty. I did cover this once in a previous podcast episode, so that, you know, down to line item by line item, but I think I'll cover it in a little bit more general format so we don't get too bogged down in the weeds. And then the last one is really a wrap-up of the whole program, and it's called the index card. And basically, I have created this index card of 10 items to remember, and I've actually had them printed on index card size print stock, and I hand them out to the class and just go back over and summarize some of the things we covered in the entire course. So that's kind of the gist of what I'm thinking of doing. I'm thinking it's probably going to be a 6-part miniseries. That's how many classes I cover this in, and I'm going to try to do it in that same cadence, I guess you would say. Again, for those students who miss a class, which again, please don't miss a class. But if you do, you'll be able to go back and review the podcast. So let's start with the first lesson, and that is tracking your income and expenses. So I like to start off this class with asking the students, do you think you will have your own business someday? And many of the students will raise their hand and say yes. Actually, more students raise their hand than I typically expect. But a lot of people say, yeah, I think I might have my own business someday. And I say, you know, there are a couple of financial reports that you will need to use as a business owner. And that's no different in personal finance. I like to think of you as an individual or you as a family member with a partner, that you are managing your own household from a financial perspective, just like a small business owner would. And there are a handful of statements that you will need to help you manage your finances. The two primary statements are, and let's talk about it from the business side first, it would be the income statement and the balance sheet. The income statement is a report that captures a period of time, usually monthly or quarterly or annually. And it's simply listing all of the money that comes in the door, i.e. income, and all of the money that goes out the door, usually expenses. The difference being income minus expenses for business purposes is your net profit. So that's your P&L or profit and loss statement. And again, it's over a period of time, usually a month, a quarter, a year. And then the other primary statement is the balance sheet. And the reason it's called the balance sheet is because it's effectively a piece of paper that has a line drawn vertically down the middle, and there are two sides to it, and the two sides must equal each other, hence balance. On the left-hand side, there are assets, and on the right-hand side, there are liabilities, and because your assets and liabilities might not match exactly, typically they are not going to, there's going to be a figure that balances the two. In business, it's typically owner's equity. So assets minus liability equals owner's equity. If it were a public company, it would be shareholder's equity. And these statements are really no different than what you would use on your own. A balance sheet is a snapshot as of a point in time. Typically, it's month end or quarter end or year end. Whereas, like I said, the income statement is over a period of time, over the course of a month, over the course of a quarter, over the course of a year. So those two statements are what you do for business. And in personal finance, it's literally the same thing. For the income statement, some people just view it as tracking their income and expenses. I like to call it a money journal, where you're basically writing down all of your income, you're subtracting all of your expenses, and for personal finance, usually the difference is how much is left to save. I like to invert that. I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but let me jump to the balance sheet. So for business, it's a balance sheet. For personal finance, it's calculated the same exact way, except for it's called a net worth statement. And you would have assets on the left-hand side, everything you own, liabilities on the right-hand side, everything you owe, and the difference is your net worth. Assets minus liabilities equals net worth. So instead of owner's equity or shareholder's equity, it's simply net worth, calculated exactly the same way. So let's talk about just the income statement, or let's call it the money journal for personal finance. And what I like to do is write down all of the income that's coming in the door. And the simplest way to do that, for most people, it's going to come in the form of a paycheck. You're going to go to work. You might get a paycheck once a month, twice a month, every week, what have you. And on that paycheck, there's going to be a lot of information. It's going to show your gross salary. It'll show some deductions like taxes. It will show maybe if you have health insurance through there, a contribution from you for your health insurance. If you have a retirement account, a deduction for contributions to retirement accounts. and things of that nature. So the easiest way to kind of fill out your money journal with your paycheck is to take your pay stub and look at it very carefully. And what I like to do, instead of just taking the net number, which some people just say, oh, well, my net check is X, so therefore that's my income. I like to look at it a little differently, and that is kind of break down the components of the paycheck. So that gross income is the income portion, and all of those deductions, they're all expenses, and list them accordingly. So you would have taxes listed as an expense. You would have, like I said, if you made a contribution to a retirement account or something of that nature, or health savings account, those would be deductions. Those would be more like savings. And you might have health insurance that comes out or something to that effect, and that would be under health insurance, and categorize all of this. So all of your expenses, you're going to categorize in some shape or form. So on the paycheck, you're looking at these expenses that are plain as day. They're right there in your paycheck. And then you're going to obviously have other expenses. Now, if you're a student, you may be living at home, may not have a lot of other expenses, but once you get out into the real world, you will likely have rent or a mortgage if you own a home. But for many people, especially young people, it's going to be rent. You're going to have utilities. Like I said, you may have some kind of health insurance. You might have some healthcare expenses that you have to pay out of pocket. You will likely have some kind of transportation costs. And that would be if you have a car, if you own it outright, maybe it's just the gas and the insurance and repairs. But if you had to borrow for the car, you might have a car payment, hopefully not a lease. We will probably talk about that at some point, but not today. And so kind of the big categories are your housing costs. So that's rent, utilities, things of that nature. Transportation, so that would be auto-related expenses, or maybe you live in a big city and you have a bus pass or a subway pass. Healthcare is another big one, so your insurance for your healthcare, any out-of-pocket expenses for healthcare. And then food is another big one, so your groceries, your eating out, and things of that nature. So the thing to look at is all of these expenses, and you can think of them in different ways. You can think of them as, are these fixed expenses? Are they variable expenses? Are they what are called periodic expenses? So when you have fixed expenses, those are going to be things like your rent is, you know, usually not going to change from month to month, or your mortgage if you have one. Your utilities are going to be relatively fixed. Yeah, they're going to fluctuate a little bit from month to month. If you had any loan payments, like a student loan or an auto loan, those are going to be pretty much fixed. Your health insurance premiums are usually going to be fixed, at least for the full year, and they may change in the following year. Your groceries are going to be pretty stable, so that's kind of a fixed expense. And then you're going to have some variable expenses. So that might be things like entertainment. It might be eating out as opposed to food that you eat inside the house. It might be vacations, things like that. You might also have what are called periodic expenses. So you can't forget about these because there are some expenses that you don't pay for every month. For instance, a number of people, myself included, pay auto insurance only twice a year because you get a little bit of a discount if you only pay twice a year instead of monthly. So I pay it twice a year. I own my own home, so I have property taxes, but you can, if you have a mortgage, have them taken out monthly. I don't have a mortgage, so I pay mine when they're due, and you have two choices. You can pay them at two points in the year. I think for me, it's February and June, or I can pay just one payment in April. It's a big number, and I have to remember that and not forget about it. So you have to remember that you have some of these periodic expenses that you need to account for, even though they don't happen every month. But if you're doing your money journal and you're looking at it over the entire year, you're going to capture those periodic expenses. Most periodic expenses are going to happen like quarterly, semi-annually, or annually. And so they would be captured in an annual money journal, for example. Now, let's get back to savings for a second, because what I like to think of is when you're your own business, right? You're you incorporated. And you have this income statement or money journal, and you're saying, okay, this is the money that comes in the door, and here are all my expenses, and what's left over is what I can save. I like to invert that. And I have a little motto on my website and my podcast, which is make some, save and invest, live on the rest. And that's really the inversion of savings, saying I'm going to make savings a priority as opposed to what's ever left over I will save. Because what inevitably will happen is if you say, I will just save what's ever left over at the end of the month, usually there won't be anything left over at the end of the month because you'll be like, oh, well, there's extra money in my checking account, so I'll just go ahead and go out to dinner an extra night or night on town with friends or whatever. And the savings usually doesn't happen as much as you would like if you leave it to the end. So I like to invert that and say, instead of income minus expenses equals savings, change it to income minus savings equals what I can spend. And the way you do that is you pay yourself first. You decide, of the income I receive, how much, what percentage do I want to save? And why would you do this savings? You know, what's the point of all this? Well, certainly retirement is one that typically comes up. But as a young person, you're like, that is so far away. I'll show you why thinking about it now may make a lot of sense, especially when we get to the compounding section. But for most people, retirement is definitely something to save for as a proportion of your savings. The other important things to think about saving, especially at the outset, are something that's called an emergency fund, because you want to have some extra savings on the side for some of those expenses that you may not expect to happen, or you might expect them, but you just don't know when they are. And those might be like, let's say you own a home and your furnace breaks, you have to fix it. Or you have a car and you have an unexpected car repair. Or you have a family issue that you need to go visit a family member at the spur of the moment and you have to buy a plane ticket. Those could be emergencies that you need to have some money put aside for in case they come up. The biggest emergency to have savings for is really job loss. And especially in this economy, it can take a while to find another job that is paying what you are receiving. So job loss is really one of the big factors that an emergency savings account can help you kind of get over the hurdle of. And so rule of thumb is usually 3 to 6 months of your monthly expenses, not necessarily your income, but what your expenses would be if, for instance, you lost your job, you're not going to necessarily go out as much. So kind of 3 times to 6 times that burn rate, I guess you would say, or your monthly expenses that you would expect to pay if you had income or not. And so for single people, I like to, you know, suggest on the side of 6 months. If you're in a partnership relationship and there's two earners, maybe 3 months would be okay. But that would be something to definitely save for at the outset. Other savings goals, which might be more kind of short term or intermediate term, might be, you know, maybe you're saving for a down payment on a house. Maybe you're saving to replace your car at some point. And those would be other savings items. But prioritizing your savings from your income first, and then deciding, okay, what can I spend and how do I structure my life so that I can live within that budget, I guess you would say. And the key items to really focus on are not necessarily the smallest things, although it is important to pay attention to the kind of the small money that goes out the door. But the biggest things are going to be things like, how much do you want to commit to rent every month? Because it's an expense that you can't really change too easily. You're not going to say, well, this month I'll live in this apartment and next month I'll live in this apartment, which is cheaper. You're pretty much going to be stuck with that apartment for a while if you make that choice. So those fixed expenses are ones to really try to get a handle on and think about and try to manage them well. And the variable expenses, yes, you certainly can make changes, but you can kind of change those a little more easily than you can the big fixed expenses. So focus on those big expenses, try to get them down And some people will say, you know, less than 50% of your expenditures should be those primary big expenses, fixed expenses like rent, transportation, health insurance, utilities, things like loan payments, things like that. And it's probably a pretty good rule of thumb. That might be fine. It might be hard to do that at the outset, but that's one thing to consider. And then the other thing is to think about certainly living within your means and not worrying about whatever that people are flashing on social media about their fancy cars or whatever, because what they're really showing you is how much money they're spending. They're not really showing you what their net worth is. And we'll get to that in the next few episodes talking about net worth. But I like to think of wealth is what you don't see, because what you see on social media with people in fancy cars and flashy vacations is really spending and not saving for the future. No one's out there saying, hey, look how big my savings account is. Ooh, did you see my emergency fund? Or wow, look at my retirement account. That's not usually what people are talking about on social media. So try to avoid comparing yourself to others. Many of those other people really, I would argue, may not be actually living to the level that they're suggesting they are anyway. And the other thing is to think about lifestyle creep. So as you get raises and things like that, try not to move your lifestyle in lockstep, because it might be difficult to set a savings goal at the outset that is kind of aggressive, especially when you first start out. However, I like to use the concept of trying to save 20% of every dollar you make and starting there. When you get your first job, it may not be too hard to do that because you're used to living at such a lower level as a, let's say, college student or high school student and going into the workforce. Any increase in income is going to be like, whoa, look at all this money I'm making. It's probably easier to set a aggressive savings goal. And I really like the 20% mark as a minimum. And then as you earn more and more money over the years, you can potentially raise that up above 20%, but that's kind of a good starting point, I think. And that would be something to consider striving for. So the other thing to think about when we get to how to do this is there are a number of tools out there. You could just use a notebook and write it all down. Well, that'd be a lot of manual entry and calculation. Certainly, you could use a spreadsheet, build a spreadsheet to do this. That would be easy enough. There are some apps out there. In the class, I'll typically suggest an app called Spending Tracker. It's a free app that you can download, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. I don't receive any remuneration or anything from this, but I just have found it to be pretty easy, and you can set up categories and things like that. That's one way to do it. But you need to come up with a way to track your spending with something that you will utilize. I know my daughter uses a spreadsheet. I use a program called Quicken, which is kind of like accounting for personal finance. I have seen a lot of people use this app, like students in the past, and they've been happy with it. And it does graphs and all kinds of easy things. You just put the numbers in and it will create an income and expense report for you. So that's helpful. But whatever you choose, just make sure you're tracking everything and you have a really good picture of what's going on. And then you can also look back at it and ask yourself, am I spending money in the categories that are important to me and not spending money in the categories that aren't important to me? And are there any changes I could make? Could I potentially increase my savings rate? Are there any big fixed expenses that maybe I can't change right now, but the next time my lease renewal comes up, maybe I might make a change there? Certainly, you know, one way to increase your gap between your income and expenses is to increase your income. Is there a way that you could increase your income, whether it's through promotions, changing a job, maybe even some kind of side hustle, what have you? So you can also improve your situation by increasing the income, or you can do it with a combination of both. So I wanted to keep this pretty short so that the students can go back to this and not be bogged down with a lot of detail. Certainly that the parents can listen to this on a brief walk with your dog or what have you. And so I'm going to cut it off here. I think I've hit most of the main topics I wanted to hit with this first part one of the mini-series. And next time, I will jump into the net worth statement. I think I'm going to have to break that up into two parts because I do want to dive a little bit deeper into what different types of assets there are, how to segment them on the net worth statement. And then the following one will be about the liability side. I might get into a little bit about different interest rates on different things, different kinds of money you might end up borrowing, whether it's for a car, a house, credit card, a student loan, what have you. So it may take me two episodes to get through all that because, again, I'm going to try to keep these pretty short in this 20 to 30 minute mark. So until next time, I hope that you found this beneficial. I hope that you find this little mini series something to look back on and enjoy and share with your friends, and please do that. The purpose of this podcast really is to spread education as best I can, especially financial literacy, and also to the younger generations that have the most to benefit from learning this stuff at a young age. And I hope you find this little series of benefit. So that was part one of likely six. And I'll catch you on the next show. Thank you for listening to this week's show. Please click follow on your favorite podcast player or subscribe on YouTube to ensure you don't miss any future episodes. Also, please leave a rating and review for the show. This helps improve the ranking and enables other like-minded people find the content in their podcast players. I would also appreciate it if you would recommend the show to friends and family that might benefit from this content. See you next time on the Mark's Money Mind Show. Until then, make some, save and invest, live on the rest. Now for the all-important disclaimer. This show is for education and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered investment, tax, or legal advice. Please consult the appropriate advisor or advisors before implementing anything you hear on this show or any other show for that matter. While I fully intend for everything on this show to be true and accurate at the time of each recording, occasionally errors may occur. So please do your own due diligence on anything discussed.